This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. And now you can try a bottle yourself, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's a Midsummer Night's Dream. The middle of August. It's the summer doldrums, but we're still busily at work. I'm on vacation. So too is Layla, but through the miracles of modern communications, we're hooking up for our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. And, you know, Layla, admit it, you were missing going to work. I mean, it
oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, of course.
It's good to have a conversation. You know, my brain was turning into jello. So now, you know, it's an opportunity.
How much sunbathing can I do?
Exactly. And, you know, like swimming in the ocean.
Right.
You know, hanging out on the beach. There's a limit. Grilling. Yeah. You know. So here we are. We're going to try and whip our brains back into shape. It's going to be a little difficult because we're coming off a week off. But here we be. And we're answering your questions. Radio program at AOL.com is the destination for questions. And we got quite a few of them. We have some thought-provoking questions. Anything in the news this week that you'd like to tackle?
In the news this week?
I know I put you on the spot really. Because you've taken the week off, so you probably, you know, it's like trying to stay away from the news, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
That doesn't always work, but yeah.
Yeah, it's the news has a way of intruding its way into our lives. So this week in our newsletter articles, my newsletter article had to do with the TMAO scare about meat. And in that article, I tackled the issue of whether meat and also fish and eggs and even soy are sources of some of the building blocks for a dangerous substance called TMAO. And it's kind of a neat theory. And for people who are inveterate vegans, it offers some ammo to take down the paleo diet, the carnivorous diet, because it's thought that meat, even fish, these are sources of, and even eggs are a source of this dangerous substance. But I think if you read the article, and I won't elaborate on it. And you know, I've also looked at some of the really good opinion makers who I respect, whose views on nutrition are, I think, pretty balanced, reasonable, and scientifically based. And they, too, have come to the conclusion that it is by no means a foregone conclusion that TMAO derived from dietary sources is the problem. It may be a gut issue. It may be that a disrupted microbiome causes the conversion of these foods into harmful substances. So
Seems to be the consensus because Dr. Jill Carnahan also does a very nice job.
Yeah, she did a wonderful job. I just looked at her column as well. She did a very in-depth scientific takedown of the theory. So what was your takeaway from that?
It's a microbiome issue. It's a matter of what's going on in the gut. Nutrition is not as simple as plumbing. Just because it's choline doesn't necessarily mean it's TMAO and that it's going to be harmful.
Right.
There's a lot more going on there. It's like saying, you know, the cholesterol in your food or the fat in your food turns into fat on your body. Not so.
Right.
It's not that simple.
Right.
Yeah.
However, it led to headlines, you know, like, you know, why your paleo diet may be killing you and blah, 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 blah. So, you know, moving on from that, actually, this is a good entree to one of the interesting questions that came up this week Maybe we can start with that question, okay?
Let's start with this question, yeah. And let's see here. I don't have a name. Dear Dr. Hoffman, I listened to all of yours and Layla's podcasts and your radio show for decades. I thought I would send your interesting report and your thoughts on TMAO to fellow biker Dr. Gabe Merkin, since he cites studies on TMAO often in his newsletter. And I was surprised by his harsh criticisms of your article. Can you comment on his comments, NEU5GC, the leading theory on the harmful effects of red meat?
Right. And then his comments on my TMAO article, do you have them on your an email?
I do. Dr. Merkin says he makes no mention of
In other words, me.
The leading theory on harmful effects of meat. Number two, Dr. Hoffman does not stress that the most important component of any diet is to load it with soluble fiber. The most important component? I beg to differ with that, Dr. Hoffman. Number three, he reads the literature, but it's so opinionated that he picks and chooses. Really? I don't think so.
I think he used a little stronger language in criticizing it. He said I was irresponsible, or what was the word he used?
He said, shame on Dr. Hoffman.
Shame on
Dr. Hoffman. Yeah. He does not start enough of his sentences with, in my opinion.
Yeah. So, you know, I got to say, I'm not enamored of that kind of harsh rhetoric, because I think in scientific discussions about nutrition, there really shouldn't be any room for shame.
That's true.
We're not a shame-based system, except maybe on Twitter, you know, where we call each other names and disparage one another and launch ad hominem attacks. So just a little background on Dr. Merkin. Yeah. I don't know him personally. I have respect for Dr. Merkin, because Dr. Merkin writes a very fine newsletter. He's a former radio personality. I never listened to his radio program, but I know that he did a syndicated radio program for quite a few years. He is a very active guy. That's why this guy says he's a fellow biker. So I, you know, believe that this gentleman is, you know, perhaps retirement age, and yet he's an avid cyclist in New Jersey. And this person who sent the email knows him personally. So, you know, kudos to him for maintaining an active lifestyle. I also, you know, took a little time to look at some of the things that Dr. Merkin has written, and he often writes from the perspective that mammalian meat is really bad for you. He's taken that position. And also he's not a vegan vegetarian, but he's a sort of a plant-based guy. He's in that camp ideologically.
Oh.
So, you know, I have to say that as much as, you know, they say the devil can quote scriptures to his own purpose. You know, my bias is more towards an omnivorous diet, and I will write articles, critical, for example, of the TMAO theory, that TMAO, is the culprit in, disease causation, because I think it's a shaky theory. He reacted to that because he does believe in the TMAO theory, because it kind of fits with his ideological, suit of armor. Sort of a plant-based bias. He's against the use of mammalian meat. So he musters another argument against the use of animal protein, in particular mammalian animal protein, red meat, with this thing called NEU5C. So
NEU5GC.
5GC, which is... kind of obscure, but it's been written about since roughly 2010 or 2012, and the theory, to oversimplify it, is that this substance, which is present in meat, triggers an antibody response by the human immune system that creates inflammation, and that inflammation is then the basis for cardiovascular disease and cancer. I think I summarized that in a short. So what does he say in the email? He says that NEU5GC is the most important thing, or does something
is
to
the
that
leading
effect.
Theory.
The leading theory
on the harmful effects of red meat.
Okay, so I would take that sentence apart because that latter part of the sentence, harmful effects of red meat, that is by no means a fait accompli, according to epidemiological studies. Now, many studies do implicate consumption of red meat in disease, but they also, consumption of red meat is also a marker for a more lackadaisical approach to life in general.
We want French fries with that meat.
Exactly.
And we want bread and a Coca-Cola with that meat.
So
And we tend to smoke with that meat.
Right. And we haven't done pure studies looking at, what you and I do. I mean, people who are representative of, we consume animal protein. We also, by the way, he says the most important thing is fiber. I think he says that in his pushback against me, and he accuses me of not emphasizing that enough. And I am a big proponent of that, and my lifestyle reflects that. I consume an enormous amount of green leafy vegetables and cooked vegetables and, lots and lots of nuts. Less in the way of fiber from grains and from legumes. Yeah. I don't have as much of that. But
listen, what he stresses that the most important component of any diet is to load it with soluble fiber. No, I think it's to load it with lots of macro and micronutrients. The vitamins and minerals and all of that, I think, are of primary importance, even more than the soluble fiber. Mm-hmm. The soluble fiber will be there. It's in the cellulose.
Yeah.
It's in all of that. But the nutrition is the most important thing of any diet.
I would concede the point to him, and I'm not perhaps I was remiss in my article on TMAO to not emphasize the importance of soluble fiber, which actually might transform the microbiome into a favorable microbiome because the soluble fiber is a substrate for the proliferation of healthy bacteria, which may prevent the transformation of choline and carnitine into TMAO. So, theory of the NEU5GC, I've looked at that theory and, mechanistically, it makes sense. But in some ways, it's analogous to the TMAO theory because there are holes in that theory because, if this really were the case, then humans would have been rendered extinct. We would have been making too much TMAO over hundreds of thousands of years of human evolution, and that would have killed us off. And if that wouldn't have killed us off, then it would be the antibodies to NEU5GC that would have created inflammatory disorders and cancer and heart disease. And, I don't really see it. I don't really see that that's the culprit. And actually, smarter people than me have tackled this conundrum of the NEU5GC, and they've concluded that the evidence is conflicting on its harmful effects.
It's analogous to also say, and I've said this before on our podcast, that, then that means if this is true, if everybody eats choline, everybody's going to have TMAO. If everybody that eats meat, they're going to have the NEU5GC. Well, then if everybody eats, everybody who eats oxalates, and oxalates are everywhere, everybody then should have kidney stones.
Kidney stones, right, exactly. That's and another way of looking at it, and even I think a more compelling way and something that people understand is, fat is clearly, it looks like the stuff that deposits in your arteries, gunk. Yeah. And it just in terms of a mental image, it gives us the impression that fat gunks up your arteries. Well, that's actually been disputed. Or another example is, people who eat virtually no fat, but they consume a ton of fructose, they can have very high levels of blood fat because the body is
the body's
an alchemist. It transforms harmful substances into beneficial substances and vice versa. Substances that are innocuous can become harmful. So it's very complicated. It has to be looked at. Maybe there are, I will concede that there's some genetic individuality where we might have to look at genes to see if some people are very susceptible to the effects of things like TMAO NEU 5GC. Look at it on an individual basis. Something is faulty in their metabolism or their immune system, and thus they have
or their reaction. Or their desaturase pathways.
Yeah.
For desaturase pathways, we need a whole lot of nutrition, including B vitamins, magnesium, zinc, all of that. Again, the micronutrients are the most important thing, is the most important component of any diet, in my opinion. Let me just say, in my opinion.
Yeah, Dr. Hoffman. Right. We should preface every statement.
My opinion.
I'm going to just abbreviate. Every time I start a sentence, I'm going to say IMHO. You know,
IMHO. That's right. In my humble opinion,
like they do on Twitter and Facebook. You know, it's kind of like social media talk. In my humble opinion. And so, you know, I'm going to gently push back against my good colleague, Dr. Gabe Merkin, for whom I have a lot of respect because, you know, I have to say he has a very fine, you know, I recommend his newsletter. Take a look at his newsletter. I think that you might discover a little bit of a bias towards vegetarianism or plant-based diet. And unfortunately, that's just not, settled science yet. You know, while some people claim it is, it's not subtle science. And I think, you know, we can reasonably contest some of those views.
True. True that, yeah. Meanwhile, all kinds of meatless burgers are at the grocery store full of all kinds of questionable ingredients.
Yeah.
Wow. Give me a grass-fed burger any day of the week compared to that stuff.
What's happening, you know, I when I see phenomena like that, I say, well, follow the money trail. You know, there are huge transnational companies, food conglomerates that are salivating, excuse the pun, at the prospect that they have created a giant marketplace for really cheap to produce foods that have high margins that people will then consume, even if they don't like them that much, because it's virtuous and because it's like virtue signaling. It's like people who buy you know, hybrid cars or electric cars, and even though it may not be that economical yet, they're saying, look, I'm doing this. This is a gesture. I want to save the planet. But the car, you know, the cars are more expensive. And
their batteries are very expensive. You know, a battery on an electric car is $5,000.
Yeah.
Go replace that battery. You could buy a used car with $5,000.
Yeah.
And it's a little ridiculous.
Well, but I'm just saying by analogy, but there is a marketplace for that among a certain sector of the population who are willing to undergo the sacrifice. You know, oh, the cars don't have a range. They're hard to recharge. You know, you have to look around for a place to recharge them. But, you know, people are going to do that. The same thing, I think, is the same mentality is going to govern the acceptance of the Impossible Burger. Well, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
It tastes pretty good, but I mean, look, I'm making a sacrifice here for the planet. I get a little indigestion when I take it, but I know I'm keeping my carbon footprint, you know, smaller, that whole thing. And that's a selling point for something that, for a product that on its own, you know, if you're given the choice between, you know, a prime, sirloin, ground hamburger, premium, grass-fed meat, versus the, Impossible Burger, you know, you're probably going to select the real meat, but then you're ridden with guilt. You know, what did I, you know, what devastation did I create on the planet? We carved a whole swath out of the Amazon jungle, you know, to create a feedlot for my hamburger, you know, that whole thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That whole conversation.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you know, it's important. Well, a little self-disclosure here. Dr. Hoffman, when I went back to school to study nutrition and all of that, I had a vegetarian bent.
Yeah.
And I really thought I was going to, you know, preach the gospel of vegetarianism.
Me too.
And then I took biochemistry, nutritional biochemistry, and I said, oh, I've been doing this all wrong. Then I had to think very hard and long about, do I want to choose my ideology or do I choose my health?
Mm-hmm.
It was the latter.
Mm-hmm. And then
it was the latter.
And what reinforced that was your experience working for Dr. Robert Atkins, the late Dr. Robert Atkins at the Atkins Center.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that in those days, it's considered heresy to tell people to eat fat.
Oh, my goodness.
And
yeah.
Now it's, you know, quite in vogue.
My classmates were hissing at me.
Yeah.
You're doing what?
Yeah.
Well, hissing at me.
we're a couple of renegades. I mean, we go against the stream, and it was very unfashionable to be vegetarians.
Right.
We were vegetarians. And then when it became popular to be vegetarian, we flipped the script and we said, let's dissent from this new orthodoxy, this vegetarian orthodoxy, and let's, take a deep dive on the science. And I had to make changes.
Yeah.
I had to make changes for my own personal health as well.
Yeah. 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 It made a big difference in my personal health when I, you know, stopped eating that pasta and that bagel after a 5-mile run. Big difference in how I felt and my skin tone and everything. A whole lot of things got better when I gave that up.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, there you have
it. That was back in the day. Yeah.
Okay. So, Layla, we're spending a lot of time on this question, but I think it's an important question. You know, for if you want to look at the argument on NEU5GC, there's a good review of that by, is it Chris Kresser who wrote a good review of that?
Yes, he did write a very good review of that, Chris Kresser.
So you want to do a deeper dive. And they also, on the TMAO issue, read my article, but also, what was the name of the doctor?
Jill Carnahan.
C-A-R-N-A-H-A-N. Also writes a very, you know, I just want to give a nod to my colleagues who write very authoritative newsletters.
Yes.
And that is one of them. So I recommend it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right.
So give us a preview of what we're going to talk about in part two. We have several other questions.
Are you kidding? Part one is over?
Yeah, well,
oh, my goodness.
We got to squeeze a bunch of questions into part two. They won't get their money's worth. This podcast is free, by the way, but we want people to get their money's worth.
Absolutely.
Because time is money. I mean, if you consecrate, hey, kudos to you. If you consecrate 20 minutes or 25 minutes to listening to one side of this podcast, kudos to you in this busy world. God bless you, because time is money, and you know we appreciate your time. We don't want to waste your time.
Yes, we do. Appendectomy is tied to Parkinson's disease.
Oh,
that's
okay.
In part two.
We'll tackle that question and others in part two. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla. Radio program at AOL.com is the destination for questions. We'll take up those questions as soon as we get them in our email box, and that'll probably be in a week or two. We'll be right back with more of our Intelligent Medicine podcast.